The Lead Story is proudly brought to you by Alex Forbes. Alex Forbes, insight, advice, impact.
I'm joined by John Ndeyotepo, the CEO designate of NAMIC. Welcome, sir.
Thank you very much, Andy.
Kindly elaborate on NAMIC's mandate.
Okay. NAMIC's mandate is, NAMIC is a company, a holding company, and it's objective. At foundation, it was to create value for the mine workers union members and build the institutional capacity for the organization. So over the years, it was created in 1997 to simply conduct business and create value for its stakeholders.
Yeah. Please share the current state of housing in Namibia.
The current state of housing in Namibia, this is a significant challenge. It's a very important aspect of human life for one to have a decent shelter. It provides for so many things in someone's life, the dignity, everything. We learn about the hierarchy of needs. Shelter is one of the most prominent needs for a human being. And in Namibia currently, there is a very skewed housing situation. Which situation, one, is that there isn't affordable homes. When we mean affordable, we will see that when you drive around towns and cities in Namibia, you will find that there are billboards saying affordable housing. But then when you look at those ones that are bold enough to put out the price, they will say affordable housing is 550,000, 650,000 is affordable.
Yeah.
But then, the question remains, it's affordable to who? What NAMIC has put in place through our property company, which is called NAMPRO, we have put in place a project to deal with housing availability throughout the country. We have sent applications for land to all the local authorities, being village, town councils, part one municipalities, part two municipalities, everybody. What we want to do, we want to make provision for what we call or what we think is affordable. And when we say what we think is affordable, we want everybody that is at least employed, earning a salary which can afford them a shelter, that they have access to that shelter. And this comes now in many different ways. So NAMIC intends not to maximize profit on properties. One of the issues why the properties are so expensive is the speculative land prices. We want to get land at cost. We know local authorities are already very keen to provide land at cost. And if we get land at cost, we will employ the best construction techniques and utilize our own capital to build at the lowest cost. And on that, the two costs of the land and construction, we will only add a markup, since we are in business, that is only return-related. So we're not going to max out to say we're going to sell this house on valuation. We're going to sell the house on what we have spent to bring about the house, plus our return on investment, which is much, much lower than what developers do when they sell on valuation.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah. So how has this improved over the years, and what role has NAMIC played in allowing average Namibians to have a dignified home?
Over the years, the situation has been that land is allocated to developers or municipalities develop some land, or maybe a government institution like the NHE develop some land, but they've all been selling on valuation most of the time. And this is the challenge, why our people do not have housing. What we intend now to change, and this is not something that is precedented, because we're currently running, we've engaged several local authorities to provide service land so we can do a pilot project so that we demonstrate actually how this works. So hopefully those that act very quickly, still this year, will be able to do some pilot project in several local authorities. In fact, we have allocated a specific capital amount towards that pilot so that we can demonstrate and how this will be able to accelerate and the type of benefits that it will be able to give to communities. People that have been on the job in a year or two will be able to afford a decent home, which they can build on later on should their family increase and all those other life's happenings.
Yeah. What criteria does NAMIC use when deciding which housing projects to invest in? And how do these projects align with your broader vision of economic empowerment?
Yeah, the criteria we use. Currently, we've had several housing projects, specifically like the one at Osona Village. Yes, there's a billboard there that says affordable housing.
Mm-hmm.
But the housing there is over a quarter of a million, definitely above 450,000. So what this means is that, yes, the valuation of these properties is high, but the trigger here is that the land is also very expensive. So what we now have embarked upon is to carefully select development opportunities where the land is reasonably priced, specifically looking at more subsidized land, land that has been serviced either by the state or by the local authority, which the local authority intend to give to ultra or low-income earners within the local authority. But then the challenge that they have is that these local low-income earners, they might even be working for the government as a police officer, constable. They get this land from the local authority, maybe $20,000, $30,000 a plot. But then now they cannot access funding to build because the housing development industry is in such a way that it's just triggered by the valuation of that property. And for this person to qualify for the amount of the valuation of the building that they want to put up, it's very, very difficult also because of their own affordability. So our project entails also dealing with the affordability issue. So when we develop this property, we look at only what we put in to develop the property and make a return on that. And whatever balance there is between what we put in to develop the property, what the client have got as a purchase price for the land, whether it's us who bought the land or they bought the land themselves, that put together and the difference between the valuation and that cost will then cater to address the affordability issues that the individual might have. And that's where we think that this will go a long way in addressing the social impact that the quest for shelter has in our country.
Yes. What have been some of the challenges in the housing sector, and how can government and entities such as NAMIC play a role to overcome them?
Yes, the challenges have always been infrastructure.
Yeah.
Yeah, because the cost of housing starts from the land where the housing needs to be put. Now, government can play a major role, especially with the provision of bulk infrastructure. Normally, a homeowner, in terms of affordability, they can be able to pay for the local cost of, like, your local electricity meter, your water meters, yeah, and those things. But they cannot pay for a water reservoir. They will not pay for a substation or a pump station. This bulk infrastructure, I think, is something that the government should concentrate on and ensure that at least they come in and build such infrastructure. Then the individual homeowners or homeowners associations or institutions, private institutions like NAMIC, can easily invest in the rest of the infrastructure. And then when they do so, they'll be able to recoup this investment from the properties that they develop. And it will not be a major burden on the homeowners or the prospective homeowners. In terms of the local authorities, the local authorities are also keeping the land, holding on to the land that is driving up the land prices. Yes, I know that there are institutions that are allocated land and they try to speculate with this land. This is simply just fueled by the processes and fueled by the scarcity. But the moment we address the scarcity and we address availability and local authorities make land available for development, we'll go a long way in making houses available for the population.
Yes. How does NAMIC ensure that its housing investments benefit not just urban centres, but also remote areas of Namibia?
Yeah, urban centers and remote areas in comparison is that NAMIC currently is focused in, yes, one can say a village council is a remote area. So we are willing to put up houses even in village council. But we are not developing rural areas like to put up a house in a rural area where there's no ownership.
Yeah.
Because remember, we are an institution and we have to expend money where it can be recouped. Yeah. However, we feel that should we drive housing development in these urban centers and in villages, a lot of people would be able to have houses in urban centers and villages that they can keep as they are medium of wealth, and these houses will be also available if they don't live in them to other people that maybe are only staying there temporarily or are not willing to procure properties in those areas to have reasonable rented properties to stay in.
What challenges has NAMIC encountered in its affordable housing initiatives, and how have these been addressed?
Currently, the challenge that we have is access to land. NAMIC has invested in commercial land, whereby we have procured land from other developers. However, that land, which is procured from developers, is expensive land and only caters for middle to high income, because obviously you have to recoup your investment in that. But to get affordable land has been the biggest challenge for NAMIC and its property company. And it's why we feel that more engagement needs to happen. We need to sensitize more local authorities, even if it's just to partner. Because our interest is the objective. And we have the financial resources to partner with local authorities to bring about this objective, to ensure that they have affordable houses, houses that are below a quarter of a million. For those people that only qualifies for 150,000 or 200,000 to purchase a home. Currently, those homes are not available, and that is the challenge. So the partnership, the engagements with local authorities to release land that can be serviced below a certain threshold or that is already serviced and is at least below 50,000. One can limit the construction even to 150,000. So if land was 50,000, construction was 150,000, we can easily sell that home for 200,000, then it will be affordable to many Namibians. And that's what we are looking for.
Yes. How does the partnership with JTT through NAMIVest align with NAMIC's vision of sustainable development and economic growth in Namibia?
JTT and NAMIC West are new companies which were established by the shareholder of NAMIC Holdings, which is NAMIC, the trust. These companies are primarily also to drive wealth creation. Our objective of uplifting the mine workers and the communities they live in and the country at large, this is just a testament to say that we are trying to have Namibians generate wealth. So what is JTT about? JTT is a trust that owns a company called NAMIC West. JTT is a listed institution on the Namibia Stock Exchange. Beneficiaries of the Mine Workers Union and of the trust of NAMIC can buy shares in JTT and become shareholders. They can also be donated shares if they're in the vulnerable category, meaning they earn less than 3,000 Namibian dollars or they do not have any income at all. So they are donated shares, which currently they are valued at around 15,000. Yeah. So we're looking at having this massive number of people become shareholders. And then if you look at NAMIC's investment portfolio, you will see that NAMIC invests or has interest in blue-chip companies like banks, big insurance companies, and so forth. So by investing in JTT, and as a result, JTT holds 25% of NAMIC shares, would mean that these people that invest in these entities get access now to those shares, which are not available now on the market, or that they'll know no money not buy them as individuals. So by so doing, we are empowering that huge number of people into the realm of investment, and as a result, they become shareholders, they become owners of capital, and in that way, they build wealth.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yes. So with investments across different sectors, how does NAMIC balance its focus between affordable housing and other strategic areas?
Well, we balance it very well. Currently, we would have loved for affordable housing to even just be 20% of our portfolio. We are not there yet, but we want it to go, because we feel that housing has a significant ripple effect on the economic situation or on the social situation of families across the country. And if we get it right and we build the housing portfolio within the company, even just up to 20%, we think that would be a very great thing for the country, and its social impact will be much, much greater than what we see today. However, in terms of other portfolios, yes, we are a money-making company. We don't compromise when it comes to generating value. That's how we've managed to grow the company from $1 to $1,000 in just over 25 years. If you have heard, NAMIC is now worth over 700, close to 800 million. Yeah. And it came from a little bit of seed capital, which was just 600,000 way back in 1997. So when we're talking about growing the portfolio, the value, and striking a balance, we still are really involved in high value in investment, but we are not neglecting the social investments. And we really feel that social investment can also be converted to be high value given the scale.
Mm-hmm. That's true. So what are NAMIC's long-term goals for its affordable housing initiatives?
In the beginning, we're looking at first phase. We want to build at least 1,500 homes across the different local authorities, preferably in the next financial year, if we have the land available, and then do much more after that. But in totality, we're looking at the housing backlog as presented by the Minister of Urban, standing at hundreds of thousands of houses. We wanted to take part in that and really bring that down, probably completely eliminate it within a 5-year period. But as I said, all the stakeholders need to come to the party, and we need to collaborate and be able to achieve this.
Yeah. And then just the last question, what upcoming projects or initiatives can we expect from NAMIC in the affordable housing sector?
The projects, there are many. At the moment, we're working on what we call a development house. We're working on getting good quality, cheaper material, but still brick and mortar. We know that there has been a lot of development in alternative building material. However, we feel that and people are not really comfortable going the alternative route, because there might be a challenge of wear and tear and maintenance many years later on. We still do brick and mortar, but we're doing a developmental house that one can start, you know, having a home, maybe from as little as 60, 70,000 Namibian dollars. And then you can, as you grow, you develop your shelter with you. But then everything is already done. Your plans are already in place, everything. So whatever add-on you have is just like a plug-in type of. So we're working on that project. And this is the project we want to roll out also when we get the land. We roll out that type of house, and we know exactly the cost of all the materials. And we can be able, if we get a lot of land, to import those materials that needs to be imported. Those that can be locally produced, we can set up plants, because we also invest in manufacturing, set up plants to manufacture them, and then be able to actually get to the cheapest house.
The lead story was proudly brought to you by Alex Forbes. Alex Forbes, insight, advice, impact.